its current state on WKAR. The causes and effects of Flint's water crisis continue to play out in the news. The Sloan Museum in Flint hopes that a new exhibit will help explain the history of Flint's water system, how it got to the condition we're seeing today, and what people can do to protect their families. Current state Scott Pohl talks with the Sloan Museum's executive director, Todd Slisher, about water's extreme journey. Slisher says work to bring the exhibit to Flint started long before the current lead contamination problem came to light.
The core of the exhibit, Water's Extreme Journey, is actually a national traveling exhibit that tours around the country, and it focuses on watershed issues and pollution and issues that people have with water. And we originally booked this exhibit over 2 years ago, before all of the problems started to emerge about Flint's water, and even and before all the lead and water issues. But when we heard about the water problems, we realized there was an opportunity here. We actually moved this exhibit up in our schedule. We swapped two exhibits, and we decided to use the exhibit to help educate the community and to spread the word about what can be done about the water issue, about the lead issue, and kind of educate people on the whole water crisis and steps that they can take to help or to prevent lead contamination or to mitigate it. So that was an opportunity that we saw, and so we built a lot of local components into the exhibit.
I want to ask you about the form of the exhibit. Someone who attends the museum and goes through the exhibit, it's essentially a maze. You're a water drop, and as you work your way through it, you're trying to stay clean. Is that the essence of this exhibit?
That's the correct. That's the traveling exhibit portion, the portion that's been going around the country. And yes, in that case, you are a water droplet, and you enter the water cycle. You fall out of a cloud onto land, and you go through a maze. And the decisions that you make in that maze, sometimes it's a random decision. You spin a wheel and find out what happens to you. Sometimes you have to make a decision, determines whether you stay clean or whether you get polluted. And if you get polluted, you get kicked out of the maze, and you got to start over again and see if you can find the quote-unquote clean path all the way through the maze. So the exhibit deals with issues of water runoff, of pollution from neighborhoods or cars. People don't know, even washing your car and sending the soap down the drain can pollute a watershed, or agricultural pollution, other ways that water in a watershed can get polluted. But that is the one component of the exhibit. There's a whole other half of the exhibit that deals with Flint's water issue. And we've worked a lot with local groups like the Flint Watershed Coalition, Flint River Watershed Coalition, it's kind of a mouthful, to work on plans in the exhibit to look at the health of the Flint River. We've looked at the timeline of the entire water crisis and when we knew what we knew. And a lot of people don't realize the Flint water situation has been going on way, way, way back. Even around the turn of the century, there were all debates on how Flint should get its water and how we should work. So we've got some historical components to the exhibit as well.
Yeah, I understand it goes all the way back to the first well that was ever drilled in Flint.
Yes, exactly. There was a well that was drilled downtown, and it was to provide water for public and for horses at the time, for horse-drawn carriages. So that was the first well in Flint. But Flint has gone back and forth with different water sources over time, from wells to using the Flint River. And many people don't realize Flint has considered a pipeline to Lake Huron, the source that they will be switching to this summer, all the way back into the 20s and 30s. It was first considered doing something like that. So there's a lot of history of Flint's water situation as well.
We're talking with the executive director of the Sloan Museum in Flint, Todd Slisher. They've opened up a new exhibit on clean water. It's called Water's Extreme Journey. Does the exhibit include practical tips for people who are dealing with contaminated water in Flint right now?
Yes, it does. We work with Dr. Mona Hannah Atisha, who's the doctor over at Hurley Hospital, the pediatrician that has been at the center of this, to develop some material in the exhibit and to give some practical advice. There are things that you can do, good nutrition, vitamins, and supplements that you can take to help try to mitigate the effects of lead, especially in children. But we, of course, are not medical professionals. We don't recommend a course of treatment. We would suggest that you see a pediatrician about that if you suspect that you have lead contamination or other issues.
The exhibit also includes an investigation of the condition of the Flint River over the course of time. The current perception, of course, is that the Flint River is in terrible shape. Am I right about that, that people learn about the condition of the Flint River over time?
Yes, they do. We have an entire section of the exhibit that deals with Flint River and the quality of Flint River water and the Flint River over time. And it was true in the past, in the 60s and 70s, in that era, that the Flint River was fairly polluted. It was an unhealthy river. It had a lot of industrial runoff that was being shunted into the river. But since that time, various groups have worked to clean up the river and to reduce the amount of pollutants that go into the river. And today, the Flint River is actually a fairly healthy river, especially for one that runs through an urban area. It is there are areas in the river that there are eagles nesting. It's a beautiful canoeing river, and it's fairly healthy. So really, the river water is not the source of the problem. Yes, it is more corrosive, but the problem that Flint experienced and is still experiencing had to do from the fact that the water wasn't treated properly. Anti-corrosive agents were not added to the water, and that produced the current problem with lead in water that we have in Flint.
You think that there has been some misinformation about the condition of water in Flint, or at least the situation surrounding contaminated water. What sort of misinformation are you hoping to address with this exhibit?
Well, what seems to happen is you tend to have some figures, some of them national figures and not local, but even local figures, that will make statements that are inaccurate about Flint's water situation. For instance, I keep hearing over and over again that the reason we have problems with the Flint River is polluted. Well, that's not really the case. The case is that we have problems not because the Flint River water is somehow bad or it shouldn't be used as a water source, but the problems are because of corrosion and the fact that it wasn't treated to be anti-corrosive, which should have been done. So there are things like that that we hope to clear up in an exhibit so that people can be informed about what actually is going on, and so that when they hear something that's misinformation or maybe there's somebody that makes a statement that's incorrect, they can learn about it and find out what the actual situation is here from our exhibit.
We're talking about the new exhibit, Water's Extreme Journey, at the Sloan Museum in Flint. You can see it through May 8th. Our guest is the museum's executive director, Todd Slisher. The museum is also planning 13 public events in coming weeks around this exhibition. I don't necessarily want details about each of the 13, but am I right about that, that there are 13 events? They include lectures and children's programs all surrounding this new exhibition, Water's Extreme Journey?
Yes, absolutely. This is another thing that we wanted to do to help educate our community about water issues, about water filters. And so there are basically two types of public program. One is more aimed more at kids, and it's more of a hands-on program where they're either building a water filter or they're looking at pond water and what lives in them and all sorts of activities to deal with water. But the other part are public lectures meant more for adults that talk about our water crisis. We're bringing in the Flint Journal to do a panel discussion about the timeline of the crisis. Dr. Mona Hanna-Attisha is coming in to do a talk about lead and its effects on kids. We're having a talk about the Karagani pipeline, which is the new water source that was kind of the start of this whole thing. This Flint announcing that it was going to switch to a new water source, the Karagani pipeline that came from Lake Huron. And so we have a presentation on that and many other presentations wrapped around this exhibit. For all the details, people should go to our website, which is sloanmuseum.org, to find out all about those public programs.
Todd, I wanted to ask you about the news coverage of the Flint water crisis and the degree to which you can tell whether this has sparked interest in this exhibit. It may be too early to answer this question, I suppose, but are you hearing from people that they're looking forward to seeing this exhibit and learning more about the condition of the water system around Flint?
Yes, we are. Ever since we announced the exhibit, we've gotten a lot of feedback from people saying, oh, this is a great idea. We're so glad that you're able to do this for the city. People are excited to come see the exhibit and find out more about the water situation and more about water conservation in general. So, yes, there's considerable excitement about the exhibit, and I anticipate that will continue as the water situation in Flint continues to evolve.
Yeah, and I think that there's enough interest in the water in Flint these days that you may see visitors from outside the city of Flint, too.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm sure that there will be a number of national news outlets that continue to come to Flint to cover the story that will be talking about it. And so for that reason, we'll probably see people coming in from outside the Flint and Genesee County region that just want to know a little bit more about the situation.
The museum's promotional materials about this exhibit says, and I'm going to quote from it here, it empowers visitors to take action, commit to clean water, and express their support for clean water initiatives. This seems to be especially important these days.
Yes, yes, it really is, both, you know, from the standpoint of Flint's situation, but just all cities in general, and in general, clean water is an issue countrywide. You know, out west, they don't have very much clean water. Here in the Midwest, we're kind of blessed with the Great Lakes as a water source and clean water, but it's still an issue even here in a relatively clean water area of the country. So all over the country, conservation of water is important. It's important that we don't pollute our watersheds and that we can maintain clean, fresh water.
Water's Extreme Journey is at the Sloan Museum in Flint through May 8th, and considering the city's current crisis with contaminated water, a museum exhibition couldn't be more timely. We've been talking with the Sloan Museum's Executive Director, Todd Slisher. Todd, thank you.
Thank you very much.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.